Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 4, the Hamsaguya Prayers, Text 31, Translation and Commentary, by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Yat Shaktayah Vadatam Vadinam Vai Vivada Sangvada Bhuvaha Bhavanti Kuravanti Cha Esham Muhu Atma Moham Tasmai Namaha Ananta Gunaya Bhumne Yachchakteyo Vadatang Vadinang Vai Vivada Sangvada Bhuvo Bhavanti Kurvanti Chaishang Muhuratma Moham Tasmai Namo Nanta Gurnaya Bhumne Yachchaktayo Vadatang Vadinang Vai Vivada Sangvada Bhuvo Bhavanti Kurvanti Chaishang Muhuratma Moham Tasmai Namo Nanta Gunaya Bhumne Yat Shaktayaha, whose multifarious potencies, Vadatam, speaking different philosophies, Vadinam, of the speakers, Vai, indeed, Vivada, of argument, Sangvada, an agreement, Bhuvaha, the causes, Bhavanti, are, Kuravanti, create, Cha, and Esham of them, the theorists. Muhuhu, continuously. Atmamoham, bewilderment regarding the existence of the soul. Tasmai, unto him. Namaha, my respectful obeisances. Ananta, unlimited. Gunaya, possessing transcendental attributes. Bhumne, the all-pervading Godhead. Translation. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the all-pervading Supreme Personality of Godhead, who possesses unlimited transcendental qualities, acting from within the cause of the hearts of all philosophers who propagate various views. He causes them to forget their own souls while sometimes agreeing and sometimes disagreeing among themselves. Thus, he creates within this material world a situation in which they are unable to come to a conclusion. I offer my obeisances unto him. Purport. Since time immemorial, or since the creation of the cosmic manifestation, the conditioned souls have formed various parties of philosophical speculation, but this is not true of the devotees. Non-devotees have different ideas of creation, maintenance, and annihilation, and therefore they are called vadis and prativadis, proponents and counter-proponents. It is understood from the statement of Mahabharata that there are many munis or speculators, torko pratishta shutayo vibhinna na sav rishaya yasya matang abhinnam. All speculators must disagree with other speculators. Otherwise, why should there be so many opposing parties concerned with ascertaining the supreme cause? Philosophy means finding the ultimate cause. As Vedanta Sutra very reasonably says, atato brahma jignasa, human life is meant for understanding the ultimate cause. Devotees accept that the ultimate cause is Krishna, because this conclusion is supported by all Vedic literature and also by Krishna himself, who says, Aham sarvasya prabhavaha, I am the source of everything. Devotees have no problem understanding the ultimate cause of everything, but non-devotees must face many opposing elements because everyone who wants to be a prominent philosopher invents his own way. In India, there are many parties of philosophers such as the Dvaitavadis, Advaitavadis, Vaisheshikas, Mimamsakas, Mayavadis, and Swabhavavadis, and each of them opposes the other. Similarly, in the Western countries, there are also many philosophers with different views of creation, life, maintenance, and annihilation. Thus, it is undoubtedly a fact that there are countless philosophers throughout the world, each of them contradicting the others. Now, one might ask why there are so many philosophers, if the ultimate goal of philosophy is one. Undoubtedly, the ultimate cause is one, the Supreme Brahman. As Arjuna told Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, Parang Brahma Parang Dhamma Pavitrang Paramang Bhavan Purushang Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Ajam Vibhum. You are the Supreme Brahman, the ultimate, the supreme abode and purifier, the absolute truth, and the eternal divine person. You are the primal God, transcendental and original, and you are the unborn and all-pervading beauty. Non-devotees, speculators, however, do not accept an ultimate cause, sarva karana karanam, because they are ignorant and bewildered concerning the soul and its activities. Even though some of them have a vague idea of the soul, many controversies arise and the philosophical speculators can never reach a conclusion. All of these speculators are envious of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Tanahang drishata kruran sangsareshu naradhaman kshipyamya jastramashubhan asurishveva yonishu. Asuring, Yonim apana murha janmani janmani. Mama prapya eva kaunteya tato yantyatamangatim. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are the lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demoniac species of life, attaining repeated birth among the species of demoniac life. Such persons can never approach me. Gradually they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. Because of their envy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, non-devotees are born in demoniac families life after life. They are great offenders, and because of their offenses, the Supreme Lord keeps them always bewildered. Kurvanti chaishang muhuratma moham. The Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, personally keeps them in darkness. Atma moham. The great authority, Parashara, the father of Vyasadeva, explains the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, Jnana Shakti Balaishvarya Virya Tejangsha Sheshataha Bhagavat Chabda Vajani Vina Heyair Gunadibihi. The demoniac speculators cannot understand the transcendental qualities, form, pastime, strength, knowledge, and opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which are all free from material contamination. Vina heyair gunadibihi. These speculators are envious of the existence of the Lord, Jagadahuranishwaram. Their conclusion is that the entire cosmic manifestation has no controller but is just working naturally. Thus they are kept in constant darkness, birth after birth, and cannot understand the real cause of all causes. This is the reason why there are so many schools of philosophical speculation. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Shreshtam Manamapi Shachiputramatra Swarupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupurim Maturim Goshtavartim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Shri Gurum Tamnatosmi. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yatav Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagarna Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagarna Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitam Sha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This verse is very suitable to read when the particular subject for this two-day session is philosophy. There are so many philosophies. And within one philosophical school, there'll be branches, sub-branches of that philosophy. So the question naturally arises, well, if reality is as it is, or then why are there so many philosophies? Presumably we all see the same thing. We have the same kind of seeing, hearing, touching, tasting, smelling, feeling. And our thought processes are similar. So why is it that we come up with so many different ideas? Well, although it's not particularly quoted here, but it all springs from forgetfulness of Krishna. Krishna Puli Seji Vanadi Bahirmuk Ataiv Mayatare Deya Shangshara Duk. Forgetting Krishna, the living being becomes, Krishna Puli Seji becomes inimical toward Krishna from time immemorial. And Maya gives him distress in various ways. Again, Hoya Maya Das Karinana Abhilash. When one becomes the servant of Maya, he has many, many, many desires. And these many desires can be reflected in many philosophies. So philosophy is a very dangerous enterprise unless we're sincerely seeking for the absolute truth and are fortunate enough to be guided to the path of understanding the ultimate truth. The ultimate truth is delineated in Shastra. There are various Shastras in the world. The term Ved and Shastra are often used interchangeably as synonyms. Within Ved means knowledge, so there are many different types of knowledge. Basically, there is paravidya, aparavidya, the higher spiritual knowledge and knowledge of this world is within the Veda. And in a broad way, even the Bible and the Quran can be called Shastra, but they're the Shastras for the Mlechas and Yavanas. So that's not on such an advanced level. But even we find that within the Vedic knowledge, there are apparently contradictory statements, contradictory understandings. The followers of the Vedas are in two main divisions. Generally, we speak of six major divisions, but particularly the Mimamsa schools. They're the schools which particularly focus on the Vedas, and there are two divisions, or one division, which means two branches. Purva Mimamsa and Uttara Mimamsa, and they're both studying the Vedas, but Purva Mimamsa, they mostly concentrate on the Mool Sanghitas, and their aim is material enjoyment. They want to go to the heavenly worlds. Nanyada sthiti vadinaha. They think that, well, it says in the Vedas you can go to the heavenly planets. And they think, well, there's nothing more than that. That's all there is. And those who are following Uttara Mimamsa, they say, no, all that stuff, that's for the that's for less intelligent people. You should come to the Upanishads. Atato Brahma Jignyasa. One should come to the directly spiritual portion of the Vedas. So there's a big division there. And then within those who follow Uttara Mimamsa, the Vedanta, there's a major division between the Advaita Vadis, those who take the spiritual truths of the Vedas to be ultimately impersonal. And two main divisions, Advaitavadi and Dvaitavadi, those who accept, Dvaitavadi accept the personality of Godhead. And then again, there are so many divisions. Divisions among Vaishnavas can be of different perspectives of the absolute truth. But those who are not Vaishnavas, those who are not pure Vaishnavas, their different opinions are simply actuated by the material energy to keep one in ignorance. Even though one is studying the Vedas, Veda means knowledge, and one can be very knowledgeable of the Vedas, one can study and memorize the Vedas and still be in ignorance. Because knowledge is not a matter of information, but it's one a matter of realization. There are two things, information and realization. Even among the Vaishnava Acharyas, even in one Sampradaya, there can be different perspectives on the same subject matter. If we study Srila Prabhupada's books, then we get a very clear focus on what we're doing, where we're going, and how to go there. Very clear focus. Srila Prabhupada so much stress to study his books. Within his books, he does recommend to study the teachings of previous Vaishnava acharyas. So that's not forbidden. But one has to be careful in doing so, that one doesn't become a bookworm. The bookworm kind of attitude, that I've read so many books, I know so much. I got an inquiry by email, which I'm going to address now. He says, when I study the Shastras, I read the commentaries of Vaishnava Acharyas, Baladev Vidyabhushan, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Jiva Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami. He didn't say Srila Prabhupada. I don't know whether he leaves that out or whether that's just presumed that he reads the commentaries of Srila Prabhupada also. And he says, I'm doing it, and can I read their comments when I'm studying a particular shloka from the Shastras? I have mixed feelings about that. Why? What's the attitude? Advancement in devotional service depends on the attitude of the performer. If it's more of an intellectual exercise than a truly devotional exercise, then one may become more knowledgeable, but it doesn't mean that one will have more realization. How much is revealed to us depends on our attitude. And the basic attitude is a service attitude. So if we approach Shastra in a service attitude, I'm studying. Some people have the intellectual disposition. They're very much inclined to study a lot. So if the inclination is to study with implicit faith, just like Arjuna had implicit faith in Krishna, sarva me tad ritang manye yang mang vadasi keshava, whatever you say, Krishna, I accept as truth. So if one approaches that with implicit faith, the Shastras, then one will be blessed with understanding and in a service mood. Why are we studying? Why? How is that going to be integrated with our service? Maybe you're going to teach. Maybe you have to, if one is very intellectual, he may take up various controversies which the intellectuals in our movements like to take up on the basis of Shastra. They'll say, did the jiva fall from the spiritual world or not? And you say, well, this acharya says this and that acharya says this, so we have to juggle it and come up with a conclusion. What is the harmonization? So that may be, although it's same thing as here, vivada sangvada. Sometimes the different intellectuals agree with each other on certain points and at other times they don't. But the whole attitude in study of Shastra, as with all the activities of devotees, should be, how are we going to serve Krishna better by doing this? So I do become a little afraid sometimes when I see that devotees are studying so many Shastras and so many commentators and amassing huge reams of information in their brains. But can they, after doing all this, do they have a clear understanding of what we're supposed to be doing here in Krishna consciousness? And can they explain that to others? Or are they themselves becoming more confused and then they convey their confusion to others? That we have to see. Studies, even of the Vaishnava Acharyas, even of Shastra, if it's not done with a commitment to surrender and a strong desire to surrender, commitment to sadhana and service. Without that, it's going to be on the mental platform. It's going to be a mental exercise. And then we'd be looking, what is this acharya saying? What is this acharya saying? Well, I think this one's right in this case, and I think that one's right. And who are we to judge the Vaishnava acharyas? That's why we're supposed to have an acharya who explains all these things to us. May do or may not do. Often people ask me questions. I ask, as Srila Prabhupada, I say, oh, why are you asking that question? What relevance has it got to your spiritual life? Because there are unlimited questions you can ask. So what why does Krishna dance on the heads of Kaliya? Why doesn't he just kill him? Why doesn't he do headstands on the heads of Kaliya? There could be unlimited questions. And you may not find all the answers in Shastra, but why do you want to know anyway? What's the point? Yeah. Especially when it comes to Leela, Krishna's Leela, it's just for his pleasure. And there may be so many purposes served in that also. And within the Leela, there may be so many nuances and twists and turns, which those who are relishing Krishna Leela can see that they'll comment, Krishna said this to try to defeat the gopis in argument, and they said something back to him. But we should be very careful. We're dealing with this Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we don't have entrance via our brain power. We shouldn't be overly give undue credit to our brains, by which we are limited, we are of limited intelligence. Now, of course, shastras are given to us to exercise our intelligence upon that. It's not meant to be something that's simply some kind of sound in the background that we listen to. But it's supposed to be understood with our intelligence. Bhagavatam tatrinvan supatan vicharana paro vimuchen naraha. Bhagavatam we're supposed to read very carefully or recite very carefully. Or first of all, to hear very carefully, to recite very carefully. With vichara, trying to understand. And if we do that, we can go back to Godhead, Bhagavatam says. But at the same time, advancement in Krishna consciousness depends on the attitude of the performer in real life and on the internet. We can come across Hindu intellectuals who are very deep in Shastra, very intelligent, they're taking pride in their culture, but simply by their discussions, they can't come to any conclusion. There's some discussions been going on for years now between Advaitavadis, online discussions in English, but it's all quoting Sanskrit all over the place. And between Advaitavadis and Vaishnavas, and the mostly Madhvas on the other side. And they never come to any conclusion, because what seems logical to one doesn't seem logical to the other. And there's no end to it. They take as axiom. They have different axioms. Just like there's someone in Hindi, he's taking Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is to pieces in his own mind, taking it to pieces online, and he's with YouTube videos saying, see, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. But he just presumes that Gita should be explained according to Advaitavad and say, no, this isn't right, because... But why should that be in the first place? Just he thinks it should be. So yes, knowledge is required. We have so many books. Srila Prabhupada gave us so many books. So many shastras are there. So many acharyas have given us their commentaries. So it's important that devotees be knowledgeable, especially those who dare to take Brahminical initiation. They're supposed to be Brahmana Pandit. They're supposed to know and to be able to enlighten others. So knowledge is required, but it's not a fact that the more that one knows and understands theoretically, the more information one amasses, the more he is realized. But it can be true that one is more realized. A devotee who's not very scholarly can be more realized than someone who is very scholarly, because yasya deve para bhakti yata deve tata guru tasyaite katita hyarta prakashante mahatmanaha. Someone who is blessed by Guru and Krishna, to such a person all the imports of Vedic knowledge are revealed, not to someone who's a great scholar. Now again, we do want devotees to be scholars and scholarly, but the precondition is the attitude of submission and service. We know the tale of Narad Muni going to Vaikuntha and meeting on the way the cobbler and the pundit. And the cobbler didn't know any shastra, but he had full faith that Narayana, he can put an elephant through the eye of a needle. He can put a whole banyan tree in a little seed. Why can't he put an elephant through the eye of a needle? But the pundit, for all his punditry, he couldn't accept that. I'm just thinking of one case in particular, of one devotee boy. He's not a boy anymore, he's a middle-aged man, but his parents, devotees, and from a young age, they wanted him to be very scholarly, and they trained him like that so that by teenage years he could understand Sanskrit very well and study all the commentaries. He became a big scholar and read so many commentaries and could explain them, but eventually he just became offensive to Srila Prabhupada, and because he thought he knows so much, he knows more than Prabhupada, and what's the use? He lost it all. But we do need scholars. I'm not saying don't study. Study. Try to understand. But we have to keep our vision clear. The great example of this within our ISKCON is Gopi Pranidhana Prabhu, who was very learned, knew Sanskrit very well, very intelligent, had studied the commentaries of the previous acharyas, absolutely faithful to Srila Prabhupada. That is required. You may say, well, that's just some kind of sentiment to be faithful to Srila Prabhupada. That's a good sentiment. Srila Prabhupada's not an ordinary person. We can understand he's come from the spiritual world to give us this knowledge. We shouldn't think that he's just some ordinary person. No, it's ridiculous to think like that. But we find some devotees, they study something and they think, oh, I know better. You see, Prabhupada, he got it wrong here. Oh. There may be technical errors, even in the Acharya's writings. There may be. There are, we see from time to time, just like this. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he... Gauda Purnananda, he gave this title for the one who had compiled the one work called Mayavada Shatadushini, the hundred faults of Mayavada. And then the Madhvacharya Sampradaya said, well, there's no such work as this. Madhva didn't write any work like that. So then, with later researches, found that it was someone else had written that. So it's a technical, some technical point. But I actually studying Bhaktivinoda, we had, have to be very careful, especially when we come to Krishna Sanghita, and he makes various statements which were meant for the English educated, or the modern educated Bengalis of that time, who didn't believe in the antiquity of the Srimad Bhagavatam and of the Shastra. So he tried, because the essence of the Bhagavatam is not its historical depictions, but the transcendental knowledge that it gave. So he, according to their understanding, he presented the Bhagavatam as being in line with their historical understanding at that time, which is not in line with what scholars consider historical now. But just, okay, all right, accept that, because they're saying, what is this? That can't be correct. And because the, according to their understanding, the historical facts can't be correct, because modern scholarship shows it's not correct. So, okay, all right, we can put that in line. And here's the spiritual part, take that. So we had to be very careful in studying the acharyas. And they may have different opinions on different points also. Srila Prabhupada said there's no reason why acharyas shouldn't have different opinions. But it can be confusing for us. When they say things differently. Srila Prabhupada, he said regarding Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's brother, Lalita Prasad, that they had differences between them, but they were transcendental, but you shouldn't get into those differences because you won't see it like that. And then you'll commit offenses. So we should be very careful. There are members, as I was saying, they're members of different sampradayas. They're very deeply learned, especially the South Indian sampradayas, Advaita, the Shankara sampradaya, Sri sampradaya, Madhva sampradaya, Brahmanas from those backgrounds. Generally very intelligent. Some of them have a very good grasp of philosophical issues and their own traditions, teachings. And some of them, they look at ISKCON and they think, what do they know? They don't even know any Sanskrit, and they're talking all this philosophy, but they don't know like we know. And all this Radha Krishna, what's that? We don't find Radha in the Vedas or. Even they talk about Srimad Bhagavatam, and we don't find Radha there. So in this way, they tend to, they appreciate ISKCON, many of them, in some ways, that spreading Krishna bhakti. But on the other hand, they think they don't know very much. Among themselves, there's often a good degree of mutual respect for those who are, especially those who are actually very learned. But they tend to put learning primary, that someone who's very learned, that should be the main hallmark of their authenticity, which there is some value in that outlook, because if we are to study Shastra, it should be from those who know. But at the same time, learning without true devotion and surrender, it's meaningless. We don't have such a tradition within our ISKCON so far of giving credence to Vaishnav scholarship. At the present time, our scholarship is being promoted, but as I said, a lot of influence of Western academic, a lot of that influence is there, which is dangerous. Our own Sampradaya has strong traditions of scholarship, and although bringing in elements of Western academia can have its use, but among ourselves, the core study should be in line with Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Otherwise, it can be very dangerous. And of course, we have to be careful, because there is always that tendency, if we do become a little bit scholarly, to become puffed up with that. The South Indian brahmanas, the intellectuals, they tend to think, yeah, that's ISKCON. Not so important. But see what the devotees are doing. The rising early, following principles, not even drinking coffee, which for South Indian brahmanas is, what's the definition of hell? A place without a without coffee. Coffee, they say. It's that, yeah, that they should respect. And it's especially those coming from the Western world, the very fact that they're taking interest in Gita and Shastra and this culture is something to be appreciated, not to be... If you don't know it as well as those coming from an ancient tradition know it, well, that's not surprising. But the very fact that they're taking interest and taking very seriously, that should be appreciated. So there are two sides here. Then should we be scholarly? Yes, we should study Srila Prabhupada's books. And maybe others also, Srila Prabhupada also encouraged that. But what it used to be, just the way our movement was in the earlier days, we only had Srila Prabhupada's books. And then later so many other books were translated. So devotees used to read Srila Prabhupada's books again and again. What we find often now is devotees, they read so many books by different acharyas, even without reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Or they read Prabhupada's books maybe once and say, okay, now I read all of Prabhupada's books. And then off into so many other things, and in many cases it becomes mental jugglery to try to understand, and so many different thoughts, so many different questions. Srila Prabhupada's books, they very much ground us. They give us a very solid basis in what we need to know for our spiritual advancement. So I sometimes, when I get questions like this, and I'm reading the commentaries of Baladev Vidyabhushan and Vishwanath Chakravarti, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, I sometimes become a little, okay, it's good to read, it's good you have an interest to study the previous acharya's works, but where's it going to take you? Is it going to take you on the out on a mental journey, or is it going to help you to surrender more and more to Krishna? Now, scholarship can be very dangerous also. And that appetite for scholarship can be very dangerous. In the name of scholarship, if we think that we're becoming better than others, we know more. Theoretically, we may know more. But where is our service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission? That we have to see. I heard of one devotee who he he says, I want to take initiation, but only from someone who has mastered the four Vedas, the two Itihasas, the 18 Puranas, the 20 Dharma Shastras, the six Darshans. Is there anyone in the world who has... He just passed away recently in Melkote. What's his name? This Iyengar. He must be an Iyengar. You must know. He was. What was his name? Anyone? He just passed away recently. Can't remember. Anyway, devotees from Gaurīya Sampradaya used to go and study Gaurīya philosophy from him, because he was so much studied in all the lines. He would teach Shatsang Dharma and everything. He knew Buddhist philosophies, all different things. Great scholar was there. He passed away maybe a generation ago now. Sri Chandrasekharendran, of Kanchi, Kamakoti Pitam. So he was a great scholar, but he was a Mayavadi. So what's the use? I know, you must know his name, but I just forgot just now. If I try to remember, I won't remember. And then there's some others. I was just informed by one devotee that who's somewhat scholarly in his wanderings around the scholarship within ISKCON and at the edges of ISKCON, because he's based in Mayapur, and you see devotees go there to study. And that one devotee, he got so much into Purvimimamsa, not Uttaramimamsa. That means what's usually referred to just as Mimamsa. He got so much into it that he stopped chanting his rounds, because he just wants to read more and more and more and study more and more and more. Another one who just wants to study different darshans and the Shad Darshan and the writings of Shankara, Ramanuja and his sampradaya, Madhva and his sampradaya, but he doesn't like Bengali, because what is this Bengali? They're Bengalis, and Bengali language, it's not Sanskrit. You see, Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not in Sanskrit, so it's no good. And all these Bhaktivinoda Thakur's writings, they're in Bengali. Forget that. And then there's someone else gets into Panini. Before I can really understand Shastra, I have to master Panini. You can read Prabhupada's books. No, I have to study Panini, and I have to understand in the original language myself. Otherwise, I can't trust what's in Prabhupada's books, right? That's it. That's the implicit understanding that I'll read it in the original Sanskrit, but to understand the original Sanskrit, I have to master Panini first of all. Then I can read it in the original Sanskrit, and then I can see whether Prabhupada was right or not. It's a bit of a sick mentality there. And maybe if you can master Panini, you've got to be a good brain. It's good in some ways, it works very well, but in other ways it doesn't work well at all. If you have the attitude like Gopi Pranadana Prabhu had in relation to Srila Prabhupada and our Vaishnava Acharyas, whatever you say is right, and then you study, then that can be a very valuable contribution. But if you think that, well, I'll study, and by my scholarship, I will understand, and I'll explain everything. You could do better service by studying Srila Prabhupada's books, distributing Prabhupada's books, actually serving the mission. They'll never go on Sankirtan, out in the streets distributing the mercy of the holy name to others, because they're too busy trying to, if they ever actually understood what's in the Shastra, then they go out in the streets and chant Hare Krishna. But they're too busy trying to understand it to go out on the street and chant Hare Krishna. And by going out on the street and chanting Hare Krishna, one is blessed by Krishna. And if you don't get the blessings of Krishna, then you can be the greatest scholar in the world, but you'll go to hell. As Srila Prabhupada has quoted in this verse from in the purport, Tanahang Dushita Kuran, people are envious of Krishna by their great scholarship. So they, if you study the Sanskrit and then you can understand better. So I don't want to go to the extreme of and say no one should study. No, finished. No Sanskrit. No studying previous acharyas. It's definitely required, but it's definitely to be taken up very carefully. Devotees should be fully clear in their vision. Amogadrik, that name is. Narad Muni said to Vyasadeva, you are Amogadrik, your vision is faultless. So in the beginning, one should have a clear understanding of where we're going and what we're doing. And it's talking about those South Indian sampradayas also, that when we're talking about making brahmanas, we say, okay, you get this, you pass this exam and that exam and this, and then you can be initiated as a brahmana. But we see there is a whole culture that goes with it. And if one is raised in Sri Sampradaya, Madhva Sampradaya, especially in a Brahmin family, then from the beginning the culture of devotion, the culture of respect for the gurus and previous acharyas, whereas if someone starts to, without that, if one starts to study so much Shastra and think, well, I know more than my guru. You might do, in terms of scholarship, you might do. But that thinking like that completely disqualifies one. We hope that the disciples know more than the guru, at least in some cases. Otherwise, the sampradaya is always decreasing. If you say, I can only study this much because my guru only knew this much, and therefore I can't go beyond that. But then the sampradaya is always diminishing. It may be that there are some gurus apparently, or some disciples apparently outdo their gurus. But it should be seen, they themselves, if they understand it's all by the mercy of my guru, that Krishna has revealed this much to me for his own purposes. And it is my duty, taking the feet of my guru on my head, to speak what he has inspired within me, what I have understood. So that kind of training that from the beginning, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enunciates, the Trinadapi Sunichena, that Vaishnavism begins with humility. And without that, this basic quality, if we go on in scholarship, then it simply increases our pride. As we see in the case of Keshav Kashmiri, came to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya, Gopinath Acharya was at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was first there, and Gopinath Acharya was astonished. You're such a great scholar, but you can't even recognize when the Supreme Personality of Godhead is directly present in your house, because you're such a great scholar. You can't. Why can't you understand? Gopinath Acharya was saying, and then Sarvabhauma later, when he understood, he said, well, because I was such a great scholar, I was addicted to argumentation, and therefore I couldn't understand. Prasada leshanu grihita evahi. If one has a little drop of the mercy of the Supreme Lord, then he can understand. Atapite deva padambuja dvaya prasadalesha anugrihita evahi janati tatvam bhagavan mahim no nachanya ekopi chirang vichinvan. Someone can be a great scholar, but even in millions of years, they can't understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead unless they get a drop of His mercy. If you get a drop of His mercy, then you can understand everything. So, again, coming to the point, Varnashram Dharma. Srila Prabhupada, first of all, wanted to make a class of brahmanas who are brahmana by culture, by behavior, by study, who by that whole culture they can study and know and be realized also. But realization means what? To understand Jivar Sarup Hoy Krishna Nityadas. I am an eternal servant of Krishna, and so is everyone else. Jivar Sarup Hoy Krishna Nityadas. Jai Shokal Bipod Bhakti Vinod Bolen Jokanona. Jiv Krishna Das Abishas Korleta Ardukanai. Jai Shokal Bipod Bhakti Vinod Bolen Jokanonam Gai. If we just understand, I am a jiva, I'm not God, I'm an eternal servant of Krishna. Just to believe that, to fully internalize that, Jiv Krishna Das Abishas, within all our material problems finished forever. And then chant Hare Krishna, and all difficulties go away. So there we have all philosophy very simply summarized. But it is a great need. There's a great need for devotees to know Shastra, and then the academic knowledge may be there, because we have to present Shastric knowledge in the context of today's world. And especially beginning with Bhaktivinoda Thakur and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they were well versed in the ways of the world and the teachings of the world. And even in traditional Vaishnava scholars, they'd also those who are particularly into scholars, they'd also study, or they may study, Gnostic darshans, atheistic philosophies, Jain, Buddhist, Charvak in particular, for the sake of seeing their faults and defeating them. So scholarship is required, but that scholarship which will bring us, or that attitude in scholarship which will bring us closer to Krishna, that is required. But we should be very, very careful, because even if we're studying the Vaishnava Acharyas, if our attitude is that I'll build up, it's just like building up your muscles or something, and then you become a weightlifting champion. So I'm building up my intellectual acumen, and then I'll become a great devotee, and I'll really understand everything, then that, better you don't stay. Just go and scrub the pots, clean the toilets. Better. Better for your spiritual advancement. So study, yes, but sadhu savdhan, be careful. Kshurasya dhara nishita durataya durgang patas tat kavayo vadanti. The path of spiritual life is like a razor's edge. It's very dangerous, say those who know. Hare Krishna. Any question on this? Yeah, please ask.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Guru Maharaj, you were talking about how someone in Hindi was trying to rip apart Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita in his own mind. You know, you're speaking.
Yeah, there's some YouTube, someone's making so many videos going through Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita line by line and being very blasphemous.
Guru Maharaj, but like, The Bhagavad Gita, Krishna himself makes it so obvious that...
You know, Bhagavad Gita makes it very obvious.
Yeah, Krishna himself says, you know, like, mamaivam cha jiva lokena tvameva aham jata nasham. It's so obvious. How do they have such...
Why is your skin yellow today? Because I've got jaundice. Can you see his skin is yellow? You don't see his skin's yellow, but I've got jaundice, so it seems to me yellow. It's obvious his skin's not yellow, but I see like that because I've got jaundice. So Krishna, I don't have jaundice, I'm just using it as a... So it's what Krishna says, Matav parataram nanyat kinchid asti dananjaya. There's no truth superior to me. It's obvious. But there are others who read it and saying, yes, matav parat, there's no truth superior to me. Aksharang brahma paramam. Krishna says, the supreme Brahman is Akshara. So Akshara means everything from A to Ksha, within all the letters of the alphabet. So that means everything, the supreme Brahman is everything, and therefore it's all one. It's right there in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says it. Anadi mat param brahma. There are so many things. How the Mayavadis, they interpret in their own way. What can you do? Avinashi, we just read that yesterday. Avinashi sadvidi yena sarvamidantatam. So he says, the Atma is all pervasive, but it's within the context of a particular body, but they take it to be everywhere. Tanahang dushita kruran sangsareshu narada. You go to hell for thinking like that. That very question was asked, or similar question was asked, by Prataparudra Maharaj when he first saw the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when they arrived from Bengal. He asked Savabhom Bhatta Acharya, how does that go? Shastra Bichare Chaitanya Hon Krishna Tatapi Pandit Shakal Taha Te Bhitrishna. Something like that. He says that according to Shastra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, then why is it that the Pandits, they don't recognize him? And in reply, Savabhom Bhatta Acharya said the same verse that Gopinath Acharya had said to Savabhom Bhatta Acharya when Savabhama didn't recognize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Atapite deva padambuja dvaya prasada leshanu. Those who don't get the mercy of the Supreme Lord don't understand him. So therefore we should go out and chant the holy names and give Prabhupada's books, give out prasadam. Otherwise people won't understand. It's yeah, please. I'm gonna go on much longer. Lakshmi Tata Cha, yeah. That's right, yeah. He passed away less than a year ago, I think. He was on my YouTube channel?
Damodar Das. Damodar Das.
Was it on my YouTube channel? No, but
Damodar Das.
Damodar and Sridhar Srinivas went to interview him.
Yeah, it's.
That was there. It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's on YouTube. So Guru Maharaj, you mentioned that even Sri Vaishnava study Nastic literature to refute the...
Yeah, all Vedantic scholars do. The Sri Vaishnavas, Madhvas, and Smartas, the Shankarites.
So I have a question regarding that. There is an anecdote that when Adi Shankara, he's going around the country to defeat the Purva Mimamsakas,
But they're not Gnostics. Purva Mimamsakas, they're not Gnostics.
Yeah, no. I'm just saying, yeah, different philosophies to contract or to contradict their...
They are in the... If you take the word Gnostic to mean atheist, then they're Gnostics. But Gnostic actually it means one who doesn't accept the Vedas. So yeah. Purva Mimamsakas, they're absolutely into the Vedas.
Yeah, understood. So Adi Shankara, he hears about Kumarila Bhatta and he wants to debate him and defeat him.
Yeah.
But when he meets Kumarila Bhatta, he is in the process of self-immolation.
Yeah.
And he would describe that back in the day to defeat Buddhism, he would impersonate a Buddhist student.
Yeah.
As a means of prayaschitta, he would...
Well, remember, he's a Mimamsaka. He's not a Vaishnava. So he told a lie, right? He's doing prayaschitta for that.
So my question,
according to his own understanding, he's doing prayaschitta. We don't necessarily subscribe to his understanding. For us, even if you think there's something wrong, you chant Hare Krishna and you're free from that.
Yeah, that is my question. So is that in the Vedic to, you know, commit such prayaschitta because you impersonate?
No, they have to do prayaschitta for everything. That's why they have to do daily tarpan and all this kind of thing. Everything they do, even before you eat, every time you have to make offerings here. There's so many rituals because they're always doing sin all the time. Even unknowingly, right? Every time you light a fire, every time you bring water, you're always committing sin. So you have to do, all the time you have to do this prayaschitta. They don't believe in the mercy of Krishna. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante Nitaya Trinakang Padayani Patya Kritvacha Kakushatame Dalam Bravini. Hey, Sam.